BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined, of course, by Justin Southwell and Eve Petoba. Guys, 7 weeks until college football kicks off, but, like, who's counting?
Yo, I tell you what, I'm counting. I'm definitely counting. Yeah, this is that time of the year where there's not a lot sustaining us right now, you know? Wimbledon is about to wrap up this week. You got, you know, MLB is kind of on an all-star break right now, so there's no action happening there. So it's really just golf, the occasional UFC fight. Yo, I'm ready for college football, man. Let's get this thing cracking. I'm ready to see some orange and black and Boone Pickens Stadium.
It's time. We need football. Just everything's better as a nation whenever we have college football going on.
It's time. Yes, it is.
We kind of do it. Well, not kind of. We do an episode a week, so I've sort of been counting down, looking at our episodes, like episode 47, we did have that one emergency episode. So we're a week ahead, but by the time we get to episode 53, guys, it'll be here. We are close. And it feels even closer because this week was Big 12 media days, exciting stuff ahead for the conference. I was there yesterday along with six other teams who were there in the Big 12. Mike Gundy kind of made news yesterday. He was sort of he was sort of the talk of media days after his group press conference. Several people came up to me and the rest of the Oklahoma State people were like, wow, Gundy had the best comments. That was the most excitement that we saw of any of the press conferences. I don't think he stirred the pot, but he definitely did not mince words when it came to Oklahoma and Bedlam. We will get to that in a second. Definitely. First of all, he had positive things and encouraging things to say about the Big 12 commish. He said that we have the most innovative commissioner in all of sports and that the Big 12 is the most exciting conference of all.
Well, you know, that's because we have Jay-Z as a commissioner of the Big 12 conference. You know, every time I think of Brett Yormark, I think of Roc Nation. When I think of Roc Nation, I think of Jay-Z. So when he talks about Yormark being the most innovative commissioner, I mean, yo, everything right now, Gundy said everything right now is about marketing, sales, and promotions. This guy comes in and he solidifies a deal right away in a very innovative manner, right? Fox and ESPN deal through 2031. If he doesn't do that right away, there are a whole bunch of things that just don't matter. And then the news just came out that he has a deal with the AT&T Stadium through 2030. So, you know, we got that solidified. And then not to mention, Brett Yormark himself said that he's trying to live on the intersection of culture and sports. And I mean, who knows how to do that better than Jay-Z, right? So this is where we at, man. Brett Yormark, he out here getting it done. The Rock is in the building.
We're going to get more to Yormark in a little bit, Eve. So save your excitement for later on in this episode. But one of the other things Gundy said about the Big 12 is that it's the most exciting conference in football because you don't know what's going to happen. There have been six different teams to have played for a Big 12 title in the last three seasons. Justin, what do you make of Gundy's comments?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true. I don't know. Like the Pac-12 is kind of the same way. I guess it's pretty much assumed USC is going to win it, but you know, Oregon, Washington, Utah, and Oregon State are all kind of also in the running for it, and they all have great quarterbacks. Whereas the Big 12, I feel like the quarterback play is probably a little bit down compared to the Big 12 or compared to the Pac-12. So if they're going to be the most exciting conference, then something else is going to have to get, like, running backs, receivers, have some exciting defense going on just to stand out above the Pac-12, stand out above the SEC, just because you don't know what's going to happen. There's still great play across the SEC, Big Ten, ACC. And yeah, I feel like just because you don't know what's going to happen as far as who is going to play in the Big 12 championship, looking at it on July 13th, I don't know that that makes makes it for the most exciting conference, in my opinion. But I see what he's trying to say, I guess.
Yeah, I would say we're just more evenly matched. Like, whenever you compare us to the Pac-12, you know, you pretty much have, like, three teams that could potentially win the Pac-12. Really, two. Okay? And then after that, it's just like, okay, who could possibly be the third best team in the conference? And then with us, it's like, you really don't know who the number one team is. Like, you really don't. You know, people are talking about OU and Texas as preseason. Well, not OU so much, but Texas, TCU as preseason favorites. But a lot has changed. I love the composition of the conference right now, to be honest with you. And then you have four new members that are coming in, which is another factor, right? So, you know, with Cincinnati, BYU, UCF, Houston, which one of those could be the one that's almost like that sleeper team that nobody's really paying attention to? So I think it presents a great opportunity for a lot of eyeballs to actually, like, just, you know, come onto the conference and try to figure this thing out. I think another advantage that we have over the Pac-12 is that people actually watch the Big 12 conference, right? Like, the Pac-12 is going to have a terrible TV deal. And, you know, there's that West Coast bias, unbiased that exists. So, yeah, man, there's I think the Big 12 has a lot of things going for us, man. I like the direction of our conference.
To E's point, too, I think that in other conferences, there are perennial favorites in the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State. You can maybe throw Penn State into that conversation. Never count Penn State out. ACC, Clemson. Whereas in the Big 12, I mean, right now, Texas was picked to win the Big 12. But I feel like no matter what, there is a question mark with Texas, because every year Texas is back, and every year they fall short of expectations. And in the Pac-12, it's been kind of USC at the top, Oregon, but then Oregon kind of has fallen below standards as well. So I think that to E's point, there is much more evenly matched across the board in the Big 12. And I feel like that's more of what Gundy's saying, is that I don't think anyone would be surprised if certain teams in other conferences were to win. You have a couple top favorites, but in the Big 12, look at TCU from last year. So we'll see. We're going to get more into where we stand in the Big 12 a little bit later as we talk about some more specific Oklahoma State team things. But first, I had mentioned early that Gundy made some comments about Bedlam. People kept asking him, how do you feel about it going away? This is the last Bedlam for the foreseeable future. And Gundy was very clear that he was not upset that Bedlam is ending. He did not mince words when asked about continuing the rivalry. He said, it is ending because OU chose to go to the SEC. It has nothing to do with OSU. He said, Oklahoma State is not going to change their schedule and what they need to do because OU is going to the SEC. So he said, if they wanted Bedlam to stay, they didn't need to leave. And people were kind of shocked by that at media days. I felt like people were like, wow, he said that. And to me, I'm like,
yeah, duh. Yeah.
Like,
and it's not even so much that, am I still here? Are y'all frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
All right. It's not even so much that, hey, OU said they made the decision that they didn't want Bedlam to continue, so they're leaving the conference. It's just so that it was just in the dark. You know, like, they didn't include Oklahoma State in any of the conversations whatsoever. And whenever that happens, you know, you kind of, you're side eyeing them a little bit, like, bro, what are we doing? Like, we've been doing this thing for a century now. And all of a sudden, you know, you just kind of want to leave us out of these talks. But if you really wanted to, like, if we really wanted to, we could schedule a Bedlam game, like, you know, pretty soon. Like, we probably could.
You could. However, to Gundy's point, he's saying, why should we do that? If you look at college football schedules, we're playing Colorado in like 2035 and Alabama in like 10 years from now. Like, schedules, non-conference games are scheduled so far in advance. And yes, could we get rid of a game like a Central Arkansas or an Arizona State where it's like, and this doesn't really do much for us for OU. But Gundy's point is, why should we have to cancel what's already been scheduled for 5, 10, 15 years to accommodate OU, who basically said, gave the Big 12 the middle finger. And I was like, we're bouncing. You know,
I ain't trying to accommodate OU whatsoever. Yeah.
And my friend who I saw him at media days, he's a sports anchor down in Dallas. And I was talking to him about Gundy's comments because people, you know, again, after the press conferences, Gundy was one of the last coaches to speak to everybody before they broke off. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's the news story. That's the excitement. And he, you know, my friend and I were talking and we weren't surprised by it. And he also brought up the good point that OSU has every right to feel kind of slighted, because although the football rivalry has been a little lopsided, Bedlam, and it's
huge across the state, yeah,
for the school. However, OU made the choice to preserve the Texas rivalry and not Oklahoma State's.
Well,
yeah. I'm kind of with you, Megan, as far as not being surprised by it, because Gundy has already mentioned this at the beginning of spring practice. We've kind of been on this story, non-story.
For a while.
So now that it's like getting more national, I mean, Gundy's saying the exact same things that he said a few months ago. So
yeah,
none of this is like new under the sun in my eyes, but I mean, welcome to the conversation, everybody else.
Yeah, it's not like he's switching up anything. But yeah, I mean, to your point, Meg, it really is a huge deal for the state of Oklahoma, right? Like Bedlam everywhere. Like, you know, Bedlam has a title sponsor. You know what I mean? Like, it's a huge deal, money-making opportunities. I understand why Texas and OU and the Red River rivalry would, you know, want to stay together. It is a bigger rivalry, business-wise, fan-wise, all those things. But yeah, it kind of sucks. But I will say, and I've said it in the past, I think it's a good thing for OSU in the long run and in the short term. Because I think that getting away from OU, you know, I hate to say it, hate to admit it, but that team has kind of had our number. They've had our number for way too long. So getting away from them allows us to position ourselves as hopefully the next big dog in the conference.
That's why we got to win.
And I like it as like, I mean, with it being a natural rivalry, in-state rivalry, I'm going to miss that aspect of it. And now we have to kind of manufacture a rivalry moving forward. Like, is it going to be Texas Tech? Is it going to be Kansas State, TC, yeah, whatever the case is? Whereas you just have, you know, OU right there. But like you're talking about, Eve, I mean, they've had our number. So why continue to perpetuate that in a future schedule whenever, yeah, I mean, what are we expecting? Honestly, with a number of opportunities we've had, as good as Oklahoma State has been over the last 15 years under Coach Gundy, he's won 3 times. So, I mean, until Gundy moves on, I don't expect them to try to keep playing Bedlam, to be honest.
And why should they?
Why should they?
I think also just, you know, not surprised by Gundy's comments. I don't necessarily think it was what he said. It was how he said it. And he directly like called out OU. And I feel like that was the most direct I've ever heard him on the topic. He hasn't really hidden behind.
That's true. Yeah.
But that was the most direct I've ever heard him say that, which could have been what kind of caused a stir. But again, it's not surprising. And why should we change what we're doing to help OU out and keep that going?
Yeah, you know what? Up to this point, Dr. Casey Shrum has been the primary person that has just been like, yo, no filter. I'm going to let you know I'm talking about OU and how cowardice they are. And I think, you know, a little bit of that rubbed off on Gundy a little bit. I've loved every single time that she has taken shots at OU. And I think Chad Weiberg kind of tagged along for a little bit. And now you're starting to see it from Gundy. So, hey, anytime people say negative things about OU, I ain't mad.
I'm totally fine with that as long as you're able to back it up. Like, the last thing I want to see is Brett Yormark, Coach Gundy talking mess on OU and Texas leaving the conference, and then for them to turn around and be the two teams in the Big 12 championship game. Like, you're going to have to back it up across the Big 12 conference to make sure that neither one of those teams is representing the Big 12.
Well, Yormark wasn't really saying anything negative about those two teams, and he actually called that this season would be a celebration and that they'd be celebrating the 8 teams that are staying, the 4 teams that are joining, and also celebrating what OU and Texas have done for the conference since they've been members. So I don't feel like
Yormark – he did say something that was a little bit of a slight to OU and Texas based on the recruiting and how they haven't been able to necessarily carry the conference was the perception nationally. Yep. It's like, well, they haven't. In the last 3 years, we've had 6 different teams play in the Big 12 championship game. So OU and Texas haven't been carrying the conference as it is perceived across the rest of the country.
Fair.
So, I mean, and it's true, but it also is a little bit of a slight to OU in Texas. Now, that's the thing. If you say that now, like I said, make sure that they're not the ones playing in the Big 12 championship at the end of the year.
That's so true. Yeah. Because even though it wasn't necessarily a slight, all he did was tell the truth. And it just turns out that the truth comes off as an insult.
Truth hurts, baby.
Truth hurts.
Well, let's talk a little football, Oklahoma State specific football. One last thing, as we're talking about Texas and OU leaving, Gundy said he will trust whatever the commissioner decides is best for the conference going forward. Although he hates realignment, he will trust your mark, and your mark we trust. But talking football, a little more X's and O's stuff. The other stuff that Gundy talked about, one of the big points he was making at Media Day in regards to football and scheming is an emphasis on the run game this season. Obviously, there is a new clock rule in effect, which will allow the clock to run late in the fourth quarter. He said that that had no impact on his decision to emphasize the run game. This decision was made before that rule was even approved because last season they played nearly half their games with an experienced quarterback under center, had no run game, and that put a lot of pressure on inexperienced QBs. So running the ball takes pressure off the quarterback. Guys, last season our offensive line had a lot of injuries. And although the run game takes pressure off the quarterback, it puts more pressure on the O-line to create gaps. What do you think of this plan?
I think it's solid. I mean, especially with what we have going as far as our depth at running back, we brought in a transfer. We still had two solid guys coming back. And yeah, I mean, to make sure that Alan Bowman stays healthy, that's going to be a key factor. So you can't have him dropping back 60 times a game. You're going to need to be able to run the ball. And for that gap scheme, like we've been, you know, wanting them to switch to since middle of last season, whenever Spencer Sanders went down.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, you can't switch your blocking scheme in the middle of the season. Yeah. Well, now we get the opportunity to do that. And, hopefully that'll take shape and play to an advantage for Oklahoma State. And I think it will.
Yeah, there was a little bit of shuffling that went around on the offensive line. So I don't even know what kind of scheme we're going to be coming out with, right? You have your wide zone, you have your inside zone, you have your power gap schemes. And depending on how big our linemen are, you know, like if we're going to run a power gap type of system, you have to make sure that, you know, we have larger linemen than in a zone blocking scheme. So whenever you're actually running a zone scheme, it tells us the back exactly where to go. So it also depends on just how quick your running back can think on his feet. If you're running a power scheme, it asks the back to actually like make quick decisions all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have RB1. We know who the number one guy is going to be. He has experience under his belt. So hopefully that gives us an opportunity for him to, you know, kind of think quicker on his feet, run more of a power scheme, especially if we're bringing in a cowboy back to kind of help in that. But, a lot of that is just going to depend on what our offensive line can do, especially when it comes to, you know, some of that shuffling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I think that a lot of people are maybe going to be surprised. Other people like other defenses in the Big 12, they're probably going to be surprised that we have the depth that we have. And then we're going to be looking at, you know, Nixon come in and carving the defense up on a long run. And be like, that's their third string guy. Are you guys serious right now? So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I talked to Preston Wilson yesterday a little bit, one of our offensive linemen. He was center last season. He's moving to guard. This is his fourth position that he's playing on the offensive line. And
wow,
in his time at Oklahoma State, he's one of the more senior players. I mean, he's a fifth-year senior, so obviously he's a veteran. There are seven redshirt seniors on the offensive line this season, which I think really – helps out with that experience. And he said that the group of guys that they have in that locker room is great. He's really confident in them. He said that they are picking up on the new scheme well. He's enjoying learning it. He's enjoying playing guard, and they're excited. He said that in the during spring camp, he said everything seemed to be going well and they're picking up on the scheme and the run game looked good. Obviously that's spring ball, not game, but he seemed very optimistic about what they have. So I'm excited to see that.
With so much experience coming back on the offensive line, right, especially with all these red shirts that are coming in there, with these fifth-year guys coming in there, the most important thing – well, two things. One, physicality. Like, we had to establish that physicality. I don't think that was necessarily there last year. I mean, nobody thinks that was there last year. We saw what happened. But secondly, with a new QB coming into this system, one of the most important things that we can do, like the biggest threat that you have, is a play action game. We know he's not going to be as mobile as Spencer Sanders, right? He's probably going to be mobile, but he ain't no Spencer Sanders. Mm. But if we can establish a run game that actually makes play action a threat, that's just going to take our offense so much further than we have been over the past couple of seasons. Because the run game honestly hasn't been great since Well, you had the Chuba years, and then you had Jalen, who came in afterwards. But yeah, Jalen Warren. But you know, we've been lacking in that area. So hopefully, this is that year where we're able to get so good at the run that people actually fear the threat of the run in play action.
And the other thing that is giving me a little bit of optimism is, I mean, part of me has a little hesitation because I'm like, all right, it's the same group of guys. Like, are we just going to run it back and expect to see something different? Or is this a definition of insanity where we're doing the same thing over and over again and seeing the same results? Well, I mean, we're changing up the running scheme. So I think it will be different.
Yeah.
Where I do have a little bit of, I guess, hesitation toward that is like, are these the guys that are fit for the job? Like, they weren't recruited to necessarily do that. And so, I mean, that's why it's just this season. You just don't know. That's why I think that Oklahoma State is ranked where they're ranked in the preseason rankings. And you can't really fault the rankings people for that. But at the same time, it's like, man, I mean, Gundy has been doing this for almost 20 years, averaging like 9 wins a season and one down season. And you're going to have us ranked that low versus OU, who had a worse season and they're ranked at like number 2. So two or three. Yeah, whatever. It's, I guess, Kansas State's in front of them. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like OSU doesn't get that kind of respect. And it's are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, I will say, man, so much pressure is going to be just on the coordinators. I mean, you have a first-year defensive coordinator. You have, you know, of course, our offensive coordinator who's been here for a while, and he's been a part of the program even before he was an OC. But, yeah, man, there's a way to even out-scheme a bad personnel group. If you honestly, it's not even so much out-scheming as much as it's going to be about quarterback play. A QB can cover up a lot of the deficiencies on an offensive line. You know, one of the most underrated things that a quarterback has is his actual cadence, like whenever he goes up to the line. And if he knows how to do that well, then, you know, we should be all right. If he can get some free plays, some penalties, if he knows how to get rid of the ball quickly, like taking advantage of the short game, all of that helps the run game out. But
I think Munkin is actually like just the master of that, especially the cadence.
Yeah,
because they would run up, you know, we'd get a big chunk play and immediately go run up for another play just really quick. And you would expect them just to snap the ball immediately because you're lining up. It's you know, fast paced. Well, if you do a quick count versus, you know, on two, you got a guy jumping off sides and catch him in the neutral zone. And you got a free play. Just throw it deep. You already got a receiver that knows what's going on. I think that I don't know. Like, I feel like I haven't seen that out of OSU's offense.
Yeah, well, mostly you see that shotgun and the guy standing back there, and then he claps his hands waiting for the snap. I'm like, why do we not take advantage of, you know, the cadence? That's a huge component, right? And it's a secret weapon if you know how to use it correctly.
Absolutely.
One thing I want to note for those who are not do not know, Oklahoma State was picked 7th in the Big 12. Justin was talking about the low ranking. Picked 7th in the Big 12 this year, but it's fine. Let's be underdogs. Let's be this year's TCU. It's fine. You guys are talking about the quarterback. You're acting like Bowman is sure thing. That's it. QB1. He has not officially been named quarterback. Gundy has said the competition will continue throughout the summer. Orange Tuono commented on a show from a couple weeks ago asking if Bowman has it in the bag. And I think he kind of does. Based on what I saw last year from Rangel, I don't think that he is QB1 ready unless he's made great strides in this offseason. I think Bowman has the experience. But again, Gundy is saying it's not a done deal. We have QB competition starting in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I will say, hell, if there is one thing that we have seen with Gundy, what history has shown us is that whenever there is uncertainty at the QB position, you kind of don't know how the season is going to play out, right? Like, you know, we saw it with Clint Schelf and J.W. Walsh. You kind of saw it with Wes Lunt whenever he came into the program. You saw it with Dax Garmon. Like, he might make a complete switch in the middle of the season, right? And that's the thing that's just kind of frustrating. You're just like, yo, let's call somebody, let's name somebody the starter and rally around that individual and go full steam ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's generic coach talk at that point. It's kind of like you brought him in to get the job done. He's competing for that starting position. He's expected to lead the Cowboy offense. But, you know, you absolutely need to have your backup QBs ready to step up at any given moment, especially with a guy who has had the injury history that he has had. And
true,
you need to have your second team guy taking first team reps, I think, just to be able to get a feel for if he needs to step in and take over.
Yeah, but does that take away from the reps that the first team guy is supposed to take if he's inexperienced? Right. I think that's where, you know, it's a little bit of a push and pull there, but you know, who mm-hmm. knows? Central Arkansas will never see it coming. Whatever we got going on, unless we just kind of play two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks for Central Arkansas so that Arizona State then the following week doesn't see it coming. Who knows what we're planning on doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, those are the games that you have on your schedule to make sure that those guys get quality game reps so that they get the experience.
Don't sleep on Arizona State. That might not be a little there's no saying that that's going to be a pushover game, man. Everything that I'm hearing out of that program is that their new head coach, you know, I know he's like 33 years old, but that guy is the truth.
We'll see. Exciting.
You know, Deion Sanders is the truth, but it's gonna be a while before they win some games, I think. You gotta trust the process.
As long as
I would never expect somebody like that to come in and beat Oklahoma State in the second game of his first year.
Me neither.
Yeah. So I'm not to say I'm like not respecting them or not, you know, I just don't think that it's warranted to believe we would be on upset alert if we're expected to go out and win 9-10 games. Like, it starts with obviously beating Arizona State. If you lose that game, then yeah, I mean, good luck for the rest of the season, I guess.
Well, I mean, yo, check it out. It was just a couple of years ago that we had a horrible start to the year, and next thing you know, we're playing against Baylor to possibly make it to the conference championship game. Like, nobody expected us to be even close.
Horrible start, but they still won those games.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So we're going to beat Arizona State. I'm just saying, like, it's not a walkover, right? It's not a game where you can experiment with quarterbacks. Like, you have to have a sure thing going into that and make sure that you finish strong, like, so that it's not a tight game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
We'll see in less than, like, 8 weeks, 9 weeks.
Let's go.
So exciting. We've talked about almost every position group on the offense except for wide receivers. Lots of turnover in that position this offseason. I talked to Brennan Presley, and he said he's excited about the wide receiver room. He's been impressed by the new guys, mentioned Stribling as one of the guys to watch. So that's encouraging that we have some, you know, new talent that we've replaced with those guys who've left either because their eligibility ran out or they entered the portal. One thing that came across to me yesterday, guys, is that there are not questions of team chemistry. They are very happy with the guys who they have in their locker room. The guys who want to be here mm-hmm. are here, which we've talked about amongst ourselves in episodes since the transfer portal chaos, but to hear it from actual guys and actually believe them, how does that help reassure Oklahoma State fans that there's not a culture problem?
I mean, you just got to take their word for it, right? It's the guy that decided, I mean, Brennan Presley, he's so talented. He had an opportunity to jump in the transfer portal with some of these other receivers that left. He could have been on a number of teams that have a returning quarterback. I know that that's something that would be very, I guess, enticing to be able to go to another offense to see how you'd fit in, to have a quarterback with the experience, maybe Heisman hype even, to be able to contribute to that. And he decided to stay at Oklahoma State. And you got to commend him for it. And whenever he's talking about there's no culture issues and these guys love each other, you got to trust that. So I definitely do. And that makes me excited for what we're going to see in this next season.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big deal. I think those guys that were actually sent down there for media day, I've talked to, there were a couple players on the team who have told me that a couple of those guys that were there have actually stepped up as leaders, right? Stepped into leadership roles. So to hear it from the leaders, I think goes a long way internally as well as externally to the fans and everything. But as I've said in previous episodes, none of the talk really matters because it's not until you actually feel the resistance of the season, whenever you go through the ebbs and flows, that's when the culture, that's right. When the tightness of the team is truly tested. So we'll see how they respond then.
Yeah, culture is great when you're winning games. So
yeah, or if you're not playing games.
Yeah.
True. Well, again, we'll see in 7 weeks. Last thing about OK State before we move on to more Big 12 topics. We've talked about Brian Nardo being named the defensive coordinator.
Nardog.
Yes, very exciting. The guys there, Corey Black, Colin Oliver, were the two defensive players representing Oklahoma State yesterday. They both said that they really like Nardo. They've been enjoying learning the 3-3-5 defense. Colin Oliver switched from defensive end to a linebacker this year, and he's fired up. He's ready to go. He said he's looking to get his first interception this season. And fun fact, Corey Black, senior on the team, one of only a handful, I think he's only one of four Cowboy defenders to have started every game last year. He has yet to get a interception in his college career. So I asked him, who's going to get that first? And of course, Corey said he'd have three before Colin has one. What do you guys think?
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I don't know anything about Corey Black.
I mean, I recognize the name.
Yeah, I know he's the cornerback. I know he's, you know, he played a lot last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it kind of goes two ways. If you're a corner and a lot of people don't know your name, usually that's a good thing, right? It means you're not making a whole bunch of mistakes. But also, you want people to know your name because that means you're being aggressive and that you're a playmaker, right? You're going out and snagging some balls and getting some interceptions. So I can see why for him he would say that it's exciting learning the 3-3-5 defense because, you know, I've said it on multiple episodes. As a DB, this scheme, this type of defense is just so fun to play in. But, yeah, I honestly don't really know what to make much of that. Hopefully he can get a little lucky this season.
Yeah, Corey has 18 solo tackles and 25 total and a forced fumble. So a little quick stat for you.
Yeah, so
I like to.
No, I was going to ask you a question. Just tell me about Colin Oliver. I saw him in some of the photos and videos that were coming out of Big 12 Conference Day. Is it just me or did he look kind of small?
Well, he switched to linebacker.
So you think he probably maybe cut some weight?
I believe he cut a little bit of weight to be a little bit more agile.
Yeah, I think that where we saw Colin Oliver thrive the most was his freshman year whenever he was asked to rush the passer a lot more than he was asked last season. So hopefully we see a lot more of that from him where he's just, hey, they're just letting him go and they, you know, they're telling him sick him.
And that's why I think that Corey Black, I mean, it makes more sense for me to say he would get more interceptions because Oliver should be rushing the quarterback and Corey Black would benefit from having, you know, a quarterback under pressure and you can go pick off the pass.
Teamwork. You know?
Teamwork. Exactly. Imagine that. Teamwork. Crazy concept.
Work. We will see. It was just fun. You know, it's always fun when the guys start poking fun of each other and talking about stats and trash talking in a competitive way, not in a mean way. So
need that. But
also saw the new uniforms up close in person yesterday for the first time on actual players, not a mannequin, not a hanger, and they looked sharp. Colin, he said that he liked the all-white icy look. I asked him what his favorite combination was, and I think it was Preston who said he liked the orange, black, orange. What did we wear for Bedlam a couple years ago? Was that orange, black?
Well, in 2021, it was black, black, orange.
Maybe that was it. I forget. I think he liked one of the Bedlam looks. I don't remember which one it was, and I forget the exact combination. But I do remember Colin liked the all-white icy look.
That all white is so clean. Yeah, love that all white look. Justin, I remember you saying that you wish that there wasn't a stripe on the mannequin that was displayed at Big 12 meeting. I tend to agree with you. I think it just looks cleaner whenever you just put the, you know, put the brand on the side and, you know, let it be all white.
Yeah, I mean, I see what they're doing, and like the helmet by itself looks fine with the stripes, but with that particular uni combo, it looks like it should be reserved for a white, black, white, or an all white with the black numbers, because you have a black stripe predominantly going down the middle of the helmet. You got a black face mask. So with it being paired with the orange jersey, white pants, I just wasn't a big fan. Like, I'm like, you guys could have just left the stripe off and it would have been that much cleaner.
I agree, man. Fully. That contrast matters so much. That contrast matters so much.
Tell Justin Williams you don't like it, and maybe he'll fix that for when it's being worn.
This is like in a game. The most nitpicking that you can possibly do. Such a minor thing. It's a perfect uniform with a few little tweaks. Like
Justin, do you like? Sorry, this is so random. Just a random uniform question. Do you prefer lower socks or higher socks? whenever
mid socks, man, just like, you know, mid-socks. Right there in the middle. I would say, you know, like just right there at the calf, you right know, right calf. Underneath. Because like that, I feel like that's unique to college football. You can't see that in the NFL. You have to have right. the high socks for the NFL. Yeah. But if you're, I don't like the low socks. Like I think it was really popular whenever we were in high school.
Right? Yeah.
It was like, yeah, low where socks are the ankle trash. Socks?
Yeah, low socks are trash.
And it just doesn't look good. I'm looking back at pictures and I'm like, what was I thinking? You know, like we should have embraced the mid-level socks. I think Vince yeah. Young probably helped out make that kind of a popular trend for a little while. But nah, it's not the timeless look that you think of with college football. So
yeah. Yeah. If you're gonna go mid socks, everything else, you gotta balance it out in another way. I prefer long socks where you can't see the leg at all. But if you're gonna go mid socks, like
that's your NFL experience talking.
Yeah,
that's
I think
how
so.
I feel too.
It just, I don't know, it's a cleaner look. However, if you're gonna go with those mid socks, then like the accessories have to be on point. You know, you gotta balance it out.
And I will say this, as far as long socks go, it looks a lot better if it has like that triple stripe we see in homecoming. I don't like yeah. to see just plain white long socks or plain black socks. They got to have some kind of design element to it. Like the throwback Miami Dolphins that they had. I mean, that looks really good. You know,
some of the best uniforms you'll ever see right there.
A lot of the NFL ones are broken up. They're like half and half. They got like the color in the top half and then white on the bottom half.
Yeah. So how do you feel about crop tops? Like when players like, you know,
the worst jerseys. No, that's mm-hmm. the worst. Like that trend needs to die immediately. All right. It's embarrassing.
You're good with uniform questions. Can we move on to some Big 12 news?
Fine.
Sorry to cut this fashion talk short, but we got some Big 12 updates for the people. Yes, Yormark, the big topic of conversation at Media Days was expansion. Brett Yormark was asked several questions about his plan for the future, and he said that they have a plan, the Big 12 has a plan, but he's not going to elaborate further. The main thing that he said was that he is okay with the 12-team conference, which we will see next year when OU and Texas leave. However, he's open to expanding. The main focus is adding teams who bring value. There is strength in numbers, but he won't chase numbers.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Hey, I'm telling you right now, man, like I said last time, OU and Texas leave, go straight to the ACC. Get Clemson, get Florida State. If it doesn't work with one of those, get the University of Miami. I think that is the way to go. ACC has a terrible media deal. They're locked into it for several years. And a team can come into the Big 12, make up for the buyout in about 3 years and be good to go. So, yeah. Yeah, if it fits the values and the direction of in which the conference is trying to go, please. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with reaching out to Colorado. I think with Deion Sanders and that personality, it's it's going to be a big brand nationally. I mean, Colorado kind of already is. They've been down for a while, but if he can bring them back, absolutely. And if OSU is going to be playing them and beating them on a national level, then that just looks good for OSU too. Because otherwise, I mean, if I'm being 100% honest, all this Big 12 talk, like, I don't really care. Like, I don't have the conference pride as far as like some of these SEC teams do, where they just love to be able to brag about Alabama and Georgia winning national championships, even though they root for Kentucky.
Okay, I'm looking around. I'm looking for my cell phone. I don't have it near me anywhere. So, all right. So whenever it was announced that Colorado and Oklahoma State were going to be playing each other, I have the phone number for Carl Durrell, who was the head coach at Colorado. So I shot him a text. I took a screenshot. I shot him a text. I said, yo, can't wait until we beat y'all in 20, you know, whatever year it is. Like something
35 or something.
Yeah, like way out there. And then he hits me back and he says, it was a laughing emoji. And he goes, man, I just hope I'm still here. Okay. And as we see, he is not here. So when you base, you know, a conference decision based on, you know, one individual or one personality, I just don't think that's a good business model. It has to be, you know, you have to look at the brand holistically. And I don't think that Colorado is strong mm-hmm. as a brand or as a university.
Well, interesting. How do you really feel?
Yeah. I mean, I like playing them. It's an easy dub.
Yeah. The other interesting comment that your Mark made, and I texted you guys right after he said it, was that he's open to more Thursday and Friday night games because Saturdays are oversaturated with college football, and moving to a weeknight could, in theory, get more eyes on the Big 12. You both gave immediate thumbs down to that idea.
I hate this idea so much. Like, when you think of high school football, it's Friday Night Lights. And guess what? The JV team, they play on Mondays. Like, this is the equivalent of that. This is like Maction on Tuesday night. Sure, there's football on. It might be on in the background, but I don't care about that game.
Yeah.
Big 12, like, if you want to stand out, just be good. Just be good. Like, elevate your play to warrant tuning in to watch those games rather than whatever's on with the SEC going on that day or whatever. Like, I don't care about Thursday night games. I got to go to work the next day.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Thursday night, Friday night, just so we might get more viewers. Like, that's a laughingstock in the perception of college football fans. Like, this is not legitimate college football because it's not the atmosphere that you see, the pageantry on Saturdays. I don't like it.
I couldn't have said it any better. Saturdays are for college football, plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I just pulled up his transcript really quickly from his press conference. He did bring up that it's very hot during the summer months into the early fall. So playing on a Friday night might be a little bit cooler. So that was the other point that he had. And again,
it's football.
This is not something that is it's something that he said that the Big 12 is open to exploring and figuring out with ESPN and Fox. So to people who also hate this idea, fear not. This is not something that we will see. Maybe we'll see it next year. Who knows? But this is not something that is a far developed. It's something that is a possibility, not something that is set in stone yet. So fear not.
In all likelihood, it's probably going to happen.
It's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I hate it.
If you're talking about it, it's probably going to happen.
Fair. Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not speaking as if this is a done deal.
Right.
It's a dumb deal.
It's a dumb deal.
Dumb deal.
Well, what is not a dumb deal, and I'm kind of excited about, is for the first time ever, the Big 12 championship game will have a halftime show. That was announced at Big 12 Media Days, along as Eve already mentioned, the extension with AT&T Stadium to have the Big 12 championship there through 2030. Tickets go on sale for the game on August 12th, and that is also the day that they make the announcement of who the halftime show will be. Guys, if you could pick anyone, two-part question. Who do you want it to be, and who do you think it will be?
Who do I want it to be? Justin Timberlake. Who do I think it will be?
Billie Eilish,
probably. Like, you know, just Swift. Random Gen Z type of, you know, people like that stuff, I guess. So,
nah, they're not.
Younger, hipper, cooler. They got to bring in somebody who's younger, hipper, cooler, I guess.
That's true, especially if that's the direction that your Mark is trying to go, right? He said that he wants to appeal more to Gen Z.
He did.
So if that's going to be the case, yeah, I could see somebody like Billie Eilish. I don't even know if I've ever heard a Billie Eilish song. I'm not even sure.
Probably hadn't realized it.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I think more like Doja Cat would be like a more.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, well, look at where Brett Yormark just came from, right? Rock Nation. So Jay-Z is the commissioner of the conference. You're looking at, you know, probably a Rock Nation artist coming in. You got Rihanna, you got J. Cole, you got Shakira. I don't see any of those actually like fitting the ethos of the Big 12 conference, right? Like Garth Brooks makes more sense.
But, and I know it's Garth Brooks, but I wonder if they would do that because of his ties to Oklahoma State. And it's very like, it's not this distant tie.
Biased.
Exactly. Like, and I know that more people than just Oklahoma, like Garth Brooks is a massive country artist. I understand that. But if you had him, someone said if it was OU, OSU, you could have Garth Brooks and Toby Keith. And I'm like, well, we're not going to know that until late December if it's us.
I'll tell you, Toby Keith, he's not an OU alum, right? He's not an OU alum, but everybody at OU loves, he loves OU. He's a big OU fan.
I think that's it, yes.
But every OU fan and alum will agree that Garth Brooks is a better artist than Toby Keith. I think there was a poll that went out of that several years ago. They were like, yo, just for OU and OSU fans to answer, who's a better country? Like, it wasn't even close, right? Garth Brooks is highly regarded as, to some people, they call him the GOAT. So Yeah, I mean, I think that Garth Brooks would be universally accepted no matter what.
Post Malone is from Houston, so if you want to get like a Big 12 city in the mix, you could get Post Malone.
Post Malone is from South Lake.
Flower Mound.
He's from Flower Mound.
Flower Mound, yeah, went to, yeah.
That's right. I was lied to in the car yesterday. I said, who are artists from Houston? And someone told me Post Malone. Well, Flower Mound is basically Dallas-Fort Worth area, so that's TCU, so still Big 12 connection.
Hey, so, if you want...
resources lied.
If you want an artist from Houston, Jay-Z's wife, Beyonce. Here we go. No? No, I mean, the Big 12 conference getting Beyonce, that's going to cost a pretty penny.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the thing. I don't think Jay-Z is going to be performing.
Yeah, you ain't getting Jay-Z, Drake, Beyonce, Taylor Swift. That's pretty much it. Justin Bieber, all out of question.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in less than a month because August 12th, that announcement comes out. And I'm excited to see who it is. It's interesting because we had a whole debate in our car ride home yesterday about who it would be. It's like, it's got to be a country artist because it's Big 12. But then with your mark wanting to appeal to Gen Z, I don't know. There are country artists, but it's like, well, you got to think about more than the people who are in the stands. You have to think about across the country because I think they said yesterday the Big 12 championship was the highest rated or the most viewed conference championship last season. So you're not just appealing to the people in the stands. You're appealing to people across America. So who do I think it is? We had talked about Post Malone. I think Post Malone would be great because I think a lot of people really like him. And who I think it is, I feel like it might be some like B-list like rapper or someone, like a second lead. Like I feel like it's going to be an artist who I have no idea who they are, to be completely honest. It's gonna be
I think that would be I think that'd probably be a bad look. Honestly, if we get somebody that we, I think if we get somebody that's a B list, we don't know, and it's like the Big 12 can't afford.
No, okay, not necessarily a B list, not necessarily a B list. Someone who I don't know, but like Gen Z knows. It's like, you know, so an artist where it's like, oh my God, they're so popular, and I'm like, who is this person? So it's not so much that
I'd be okay with that. Yeah, it's like I'm just out of the loop, and that's fine.
Yeah,
I'll correct myself. Not a B lister, but someone who I have no idea who is massive among Gen Z. And I'm like, who is this person?
Even if it's a country music artist, my girl Gabby, what's her name? Gabby Barrett.
Oh yeah, Gabby Barrett.
Gabby Barrett. Yeah, one of the craziest country songs I've ever heard in my life. Plot twist of all plot twists. And I love this song. I literally was listening to it a couple days ago. Y'all probably know I Hope by Gabby Barrett.
Yeah. I don't like her. I watch American Idol and I thought she was really annoying. So I'm not.
Was she on there?
She was. She came in third in like several years ago. But I'm also not a country fan, so I don't seek it out, and I don't particularly care for her because she kind of had an attitude I didn't like.
Yo, just listen to this line. Her lyric says, "I hope she comes along and wrecks every one of your plans. I hope you spend your last dime to put a rock on her hand. I hope she's wilder than your wildest dreams. She's everything you're ever gonna need. And then I hope she cheats like you did on me." Ooh, I was like, yo. What? I thought it was going to be a beautiful love song. And here she comes with the plot twist. I love that song. I'm pretty sure it won an award, too. Like, the day that I discovered it, like, the following day, she was on the CMAs, and she ended up winning an award.
Anyway, that's some pretty good writing.
That's some great writing.
When we end this recording, maybe I'll listen to it as I make dinner.
And then I hope she cheats.
I just think of Carrie Underwood before he cheats, but...
Yeah.
Well, inspiring. Exciting stuff, guys. Media Days, the official start of college football. We are back. 7 weeks.
We're back.
So excited.
Call us Texas.
Before we wrap this up, I just want to say congratulations to these 6 OSU baseball players who were drafted earlier this week. 5 of those players coming in the first 10 rounds, tied for the second most in program history. So congrats, guys. We'll miss you in Stillwater, but we wish you the best of luck with your MLB careers. And with that, we want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. I am Megan Robinson, joined as always by Justin Southwell and Eve Petoba. Like, share, subscribe, follow, rate, review, all the things. And of course, go Pokes. As I get my
go off. Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Almost ripped my earring out, but go Pokes.